Here's Tom Appel. He is the publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive and the host of the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast. Hi, Tom. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Teslas are in the news. How are Tesla sales doing right now?
That's a great question. We just got Tesla sales numbers here in the U.S. One of the interesting things about Tesla is that it doesn't play nicely with the media. They don't report sales, so we have to wait for registration numbers to come in. But we have numbers now for January, and Tesla sales are, I guess, predictably down. Tesla sales are down 11% in the U.S. in January, while the market itself, if you exclude Tesla for EVs, is up 44%. And much of what's happening is that people are scrambling to use the federal tax credit because people believe it's going to be taken down or removed soon. And in fact, there is a bill in Congress to reverse the federal tax credit, so that fear is probably justified.
I thought that that tax credit, $8,000 we're talking about, had been eliminated already.
No, you can still get $7,500 on your EV purchase if it qualifies. And almost every EV, if you decide to lease, which is a way to work around a lot of the rules.
And almost every EV does qualify if you lease.
That's correct.
A Hyundai, a Ford, a Tesla, et cetera. I thought that the measure was what percentage of the vehicle is made in the United States. Is that part of the equation?
It is. And if you choose to purchase as opposed to lease, those rules still apply. And it's for that reason that some manufacturers moved vehicle production to the U.S. The Hyundai Ioniq 5, for example, was just redesigned and production was moved here to the U.S.
What do you know?
In part because of the incentive.
So what do you know? So, well, that wasn't tariff related, though, but evidently you can nudge these automakers. What was it? Honda moved a plant that was going to be set up in Mexico, and they're going to open it up in Indiana, right?
That's not a new plant, but they are going to expand that plant. Yeah, that plant has quietly been in Indiana for a long time.
So the rule about U.S. manufacturer of a EV is for purchases, but if you're leasing, they don't care as much?
That's correct. Yeah, the lease workaround was meant to be an accommodation to businesses and commercial purchases. But it turns out anyone can do it. So if you're purchasing an EV, and the only rule really is that it's an electric vehicle with a battery of a certain size, it qualifies as an EV. And that's working for a lot of people, actually. Leasing is way up and because of that when it comes to EVs.
And so how much would I expect to, pay for a car? You're not buying it if you're leasing it. But talk to me about the cost of then leasing with the discount, the EVs out there.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. Basically, the federal tax credit as applied to a lease will reduce your lease payment on a 2 or 3 year lease about $200, very roughly.
No,
so
that's not bad.
It's significant, yeah.
And in general, sales of EVs, are they commensurate with new cars in general, about $45,000? Are they higher, lower?
They're still higher for new ones. What's going on right now, and partly because of the public turning its back on Tesla products, is that used electric vehicles are quite the bargain. And there is still a federal tax credit for used EVs. It's $4,000. And there's a bunch of rules and no workarounds for that. So it's a little complicated. But if you find an EV, a used EV for under $25,000, you may be able to apply the tax credit to it. And that's a significant chunk of $25,000 if you can take $4,000 off of that.
Teslas are still, though, the premier EV in the U.S., right?
They're still very good. The Model 3, which is a small sedan, and the Model Y, which is a small crossover, very popular and for good reason. They work well. There's millions of them, literally millions of them on the road, and they generally work well. And some very good news came out recently. Someone tested two Teslas with more than 200,000 miles on the odometer, and the batteries were still at about 85% capacity, which means that the batteries really don't degrade over time like we worried that they might. Now, this is true for most EV batteries that have been tested. So that's one less thing for the buying public to worry about. It seems like the batteries hold up.
You just referenced, though, the quality of the cars. I was thinking about the quantity. I saw that 42% of electric vehicle sales in the U.S. are still Tesla cars. Does that sound about right?
That is the current market share, yes, and that is down from slightly over 50% at the beginning of 2023. So Tesla is clearly losing its market share. Some of that might be due to political pushback, blowback, but part of that, too, is just there's a lot more competition out there.
Does that include that Chinese manufacturer? Steve Alexander mentioned them in one of his business reports today.
BYD, which is a company that was at one point partially owned by Warren Buffett, has been enjoying extraordinary success, both in China, and they're working their way into Western Europe, too, and they're selling EVs for very, very appealing prices. In China, you can buy the BYD, I think it's called the Dolphin, for around $10,000. Now, by the time they get to Western Europe, those are more like $25,000, $30,000 cars, but that's still very affordable for a brand new EV.
That's Tom Appel. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, the host of the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast. And with Tesla's in the news, we thought we would give him a ring and just ask him a couple of questions. Incidentally, Tom, the politics notwithstanding, Teslas are still well-made vehicles, right? Those are still, if you can or want to afford it, that's not a bad buy, correct?
No, I have driven and tested recently the Model Y, which is a small crossover, and it's one of the most best-selling vehicles in the world. It's a fine little vehicle, and I would certainly own one under the right circumstances. I have no complaints about that. Teslas were known early in their life, early in the brand's life, for some quality control issues. Panels didn't line up, things like that. And there's even an example of cars coming with multiple brands of tires on them when they were new. So that stuff was a little bit alarming. But the mainstream products, the Model 3 and the Model Y, I think we can consider to be relatively well-built vehicles. The Cybertruck has been a disaster, and clearly that vehicle was rushed to market because it's been plagued by flaws and critical issues, and one of them most recently is body panels, which are attached using industrial adhesives, flying off when the vehicle is at speed. So that's an entirely different thing, and it's certainly hurting the brand's reputation.
You referenced the Chinese-made EVs a little while ago. Are those available in the United States?
No, and they won't be anytime soon. President Biden slapped a 100% tax on imported Chinese electric vehicles. There were none, and likely not to, soon to be any, but I think there was a populist thing there that people were afraid that the Chinese, especially because of BYD's success, were soon to bring in a vehicle into the U.S. Additionally, Chinese manufacturers are gaining a foothold down in Mexico, an assembly foothold that they could have used prior to the current administration to build vehicles, Chinese vehicles, in Mexico and then import those using NAFTA laws into the U.S.
Is it too soon to know the impact of tariffs with Mexico, China, and Canada on vehicle prices?
Yeah, it's much, much, much too soon. Right now, American manufacturers are just dragging their feet on this because there's nothing they can do with a 30-day delay of the implementation of the tariffs. The problem is that they would have to move manufacturing, and there's a lot of lost capital involved in moving from a plant in Mexico that you can't use to the U.S. Additionally, no one wants to build plants in the U.S. if they're not going to need them long haul. So one of the things that could happen, unfortunately, is that we would just see fewer vehicles built for a while, especially if manufacturers believe that the tariffs are temporary.
Yeah, now that you mention it, okay, fine, I'll go ahead and build it. And think about the infrastructure that goes into just the construction of an automobile plant. Okay, fine, we'll do that. The next president is a Democrat, and he says you can do it in Mexico, and you're like, ah, great, great. I just spent $1 billion in Pennsylvania. You're telling me I could have done this in Guadalajara? You're kidding me. And so... You just referenced that maybe fewer vehicles are built. I saw a thing that said that the car prices are expected to go up $4,000 to $10,000. But again, it strikes me as a conjecture because we really don't know the permanence or the scope of these tariffs, right?
We have no idea what the plan is for the tariffs. And additionally, American car shoppers have the jitters, too. We haven't seen a full recovery after COVID, and that's slightly because prices are higher. So we are at an interesting inflection point in terms of automotive pricing, where people are not choosing to delay costs. They're simply not buying cars anymore. We're buying about 16 million cars a year off of almost 18 million before COVID, and buyers are not coming back because they have sticker shock, and they're buying used cars or keeping their cars on the road. And I think any further price increase would have a very big impact on car sales.
Have you ever seen anything like the association with Elon Musk and his vehicle per se, the CEO of the company, maybe Lee Iacocca, but that was a good thing. Have you ever seen anything like this where people decide to buy or not to buy a vehicle because of how they feel about the founder of the company?
No, we haven't. And clearly some people are casting a vote for or against Elon by deciding to purchase or not purchase a Tesla, and it's a very strange thing. And it's interesting, too, I think that the Tesla board has not made any sort of move regarding what is clearly detrimental actions by Elon Musk. His association with politics has definitely hurt the brand and the company, and their sales are declining as a result.
I've got pictures here of Teslas with bumper stickers or memes on the internet. Here's one. I can see the CarMax sticker on it. That's where evidently this is sitting on a lot. I bought this before Elon wasn't elected. Here's another Model S. Bought it before we knew how awful he is. Here's one with Elon with a line through it and a circle around it. Here's one picture of Elon Musk on a bumper sticker. It says, bought this before he became first lady. And just the list goes on and on and on. And I don't know if those are real bumper stickers. I think some of them probably are. This listener said, can you touch on the cost of insurance of an EV versus a gas car? Is it the same?
No, EVs are a little bit more expensive to insure, largely because an EV in a serious accident is more likely to be totaled, and that's because the battery can't be repaired. So EV insurance costs are higher. I've heard numbers of like 10 to 20% higher. Additionally, and topically, Teslas are expensive to insure and may become more expensive to insure now that they are the subject or the potential subject of vandalism.
One last question. Give me a short answer. What does your guest think of the Rivian EVs? My husband's an engineer for Rivian in Bloomington Normal. We see a lot of them in this area. What do you know about those?
Yeah, I have not driven a Rivian, unfortunately, but the R1S and the R1T, those are on sale now. That's the pickup and crossover. Very popular, very well-liked, and very well-regarded. They have two smaller EVs coming soon. Which should be exciting because they will be more affordably priced.
Go buy those or at least test drive those, Tom, and report back to us, okay?
Will do. Will do.
Nice to talk to you, sir. Tom Appel is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can listen to his podcast, Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. He's at consumerguide.com.